So what I'll do is I'll just start with Andy, who's our CEO. And Andy, I thought it would be a good opportunity for you just to really just set the scene and tell us how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the yachting industry and affected yacht crew all over the world, really.
Right, yeah, thanks, Stacey. Good morning, everybody. And thanks for joining us this morning. A special thanks from me to the team and our invited guests for contributing. This is probably our first webinar with the PYA, but we're planning to make this a fairly regular feature going forwards. We've been carrying on working in the PYA over the last few weeks out of office, so we've been communicating quite effectively. And from where we're sitting, the reality is that the yachting season is presently on hold. I think we all know that. But with work on yachts in the yards being affected, movements between ports being affected, and crewing and recruitment all suffering from the constraints imposed by government, not just the French government or the Spanish government, but world governments effectively. And international travel, as we know, is pretty difficult at the moment. In the longer term, I don't think we should be surprised that crew-related activities will be static or even decline a little. Is it a bump in the road or is it a longer situation? Wait and see. We hope that it's a bump in the road, but I think there's still more to be found out about how the world changes as a consequence of the current emergency. We believe that when the brakes do come off, which for us in yachting is probably restrictions on work and travel, best guess, late June, early July, particularly in the French environment. And really what we're looking for is to see ports reopen. I mean, there is the potential, and Kim will touch on it, for vessels to move at the moment. I'm sure Fiona will as well. But there are restrictions. And of course, the other thing is the environment in which yachting's operating in needs to come back alive. So you do need some of the ports to have some facilities open, like restaurants. Otherwise, you know, what's the point? Particularly on the smaller vessels. So we think that the situation will gradually improve, but no doubt you will have your own views. For us as an association for crew, there's no doubt that people are nervous about their continued employment with the threat or notice of reductions in pay or even redundancy. And in that backdrop, many will be very cautious, quite sensibly, on spending or investing on training until a clearer picture emerges. I mean, from what we have seen, recruitment activity is already down about 20%. But I mean, that is a logical outcome of effectively, you know, sticking the brakes on so hard over the last month. But if job security is poor, then people will make economies in their non-essential services, they take a cautious approach. So we think there will be some jobs lost, particularly where owners may be affected by macroeconomic factors. But we would hope to see long-serving crew recognised, and there's already signs that one or two people will be continued in employment because people will want to hang on to those that have worked for a while and have a good service. You may see the furlough thing that you're hearing about come in, perhaps particularly on the smaller vessels, perhaps if the owner decides they're just going to not run this season and just keep the vessel in port with a care and maintenance facility only. So what are the key messages from us as the PYA? Well, what can you do positively at the moment? Some are already doing it, which is to take the opportunity to get your professional records up to date and plan for your next qualification level. And some of the training providers are already offering online and distance study, guided distance study. And I've no doubt that will grow, may even become a regular feature, which is a good thing because it will actually help people prepare for examinations and increase their knowledge. So make if those opportunities arise, we'd recommend you think seriously about them. What are our current initiatives? Well, we've obviously liaised closely with flag states, particularly the Red Group, both in engineering and DEC. Kim will cover this a bit more detail in a minute. Continue to liaise with the regulators. The MCA, for example, are all working out of office, but they are contactable by email, so we have a constant dialogue with them. We're already moving to digitising certification and verification of sea service by necessity, but actually it's been a project that we've been working with the MCA for a while to move away from effectively service record books in hard copy and go over to a purely electronic system. And we're quite well down that road. So this is to some extent partly helped us in that project. Webinars like this, improve media. Stacey produces a fantastic newsletter each week, which I hope you're all enjoying and reading. We're trying to keep it as up. We will deal with the issues that you think are important. We have strong relationships with Vice and Welfare Support, ICEWAN, Seafarers Helpline. We get referrals from them and we refer back. And we have our own in-house team who will deal with the non-urgent life-threatening situation, technical type inquiries that people get from time to time. Another thing project is seafarer employment agreements, and we're talking to MEBA about this as well, because this has highlighted to some extent some of the conditions that some crew are employed on. So it's a key area for us to look at and take that to regulators. We have the new head of large yachting, the MCA, in the office just before the shutdown. And we made a very strong pitch to him about this. And so I think you might find that regulators will be taking a bit more of an interest in private yachts that are under their jurisdiction in the future. What are the important issues that come out of this in more detail? Lack of employment rights, poor contractual terms. And one that popped up I saw the other day was recognition of long service and redundancy. In most professions, if you've been with an employer for some time, your long service is recognised if you end up in a situation where you're redundant. It's standard contract employment terms, but in yachting, sometimes it doesn't seem to be there within the contractual relationship. So then maybe that's something we need to look at. We try and collaborate with other national crew organisations, flag states and regulators, and we will continue to do that as we go forward. So we're keeping all those contacts refreshed during the crisis. And again, if there's issues that people want us to take up, please drop us an email and we'll be informed by that. Basically, the POA was set up 29 years ago to fight for improvements in crew conditions and qualifications. It exists today for exactly the same reason. It's there to lobby. There to be an intelligent, informed support for crew. And we've got a particularly good team within the PY, well qualified to do just that. And they've been working extremely hard during the lockdown. Governments do pay attention to the maritime industry. I saw an article yesterday, there's 1.6 million seafarers at sea at the moment. And I believe that they will continue to value seafaring, particularly in the current circumstances where we're perhaps more reliant on sea trade than air trade going forwards. So to conclude from me, please help us to help you. Please continue to support us. We're a non-profit body, and so we can take these issues forward and try and get some resolution. So that's my message. Over to you, Stacey.
Right. Thanks, Andy. I think it's really important what you're saying, because I think at this time of crisis, the cracks in the industry really start to show for crew who found themselves in difficult situations, potentially due to not having, solid contracts, or the contracts that are in place, as you say, don't cover crew, for the situations that might arise such as the COVID-19 pandemic. So I think that's really interesting. And I hope, you know, everyone's got a good overview of the services that are available at the PYA. You know, if anyone finds themselves in a situation where they need some advice. So we'll just move over to Kim now, who Kim's our C-Service administrator, and Kim deals with verifying C-Service and testimonials at the PYA. So Kim, I know, Kim, you were looking at some of the updates that the MCA have given out during this time. So I think just firstly to start, what should crew do if they need to get their COCs revalidated, or if they need to apply for new COCs?
All right. So first of all, as Andy mentioned earlier, you need to know that the MCA offices are shut and the staff is working from home. So this limits the MCA operations and it might create delays. And another thing is that I won't go too much into detail in when answering your questions, Stacey, or I will take up all the time of this webinar. But I will mention the main points, and whoever is interested in finding out more can see the news section on our website where we have articles about these topics. So to answer your question, if someone has all their papers and has passed the oral exam for an MCA COC and just needs to forward these papers to the MCA to have their COC issued, they can do this electronically now. So they can send an email to the engineering or the DEC department with all the documentation that is required and the application form, and the MCA will issue a temporary COC. For those seafarers who have an MCA COC who that has expired or is going to expire, they can also contact the MCA, send in the application form electronically with supporting documents, and the MCA will extend the validity of their COC.
Great. And just to let everyone know, I've just popped a link in the chat, which is a link to our article on the latest MCA guidelines for COCs. So I think just the next question that I had on my list for you, Kim, is just in terms of training. A lot of crew need to do refresher training before they can start work this season or can join their vessel. What has the MCA advised for training?
So about STCW refresher training, unfortunately, a lot of courses are not available at the moment. A lot of training providers are shut. Some of them are setting up courses online. But until then, a lot of seafarers may incur in the situation where their STCW training has expired or is expiring. And the MCA has advised people, depending on their situation, because of course there are different cases here. There may be people who are on a vessel and cannot disembark. They are joining a vessel, so they need to have all the documents up to date. They can still contact the MCA, the DEC department, with a letter explaining their situation and provide all their documents, and the MCA will extend the validity of their training.
Great. And then just with regards to NOEs, obviously crew can't post their NOEs at this time. So what is the MCA advice for NOE applications?
About NOEs, the MCA is not accepting any NOE application at this time. What we advise, though, is that seafarers take advantage of this period to get all their sea time verified and all the documentation ready. That way, as soon as the MCA opens, they will be able to apply. You have to keep in mind that when the offices will reopen, they will have to catch up on a lot of work and there might be delays. So it will be probably a first come first basis. So the first you apply, the better it is. And, you know, it will be a shorter period for you to obtain your COC or your NOE.
Okay, brilliant. And obviously one other important you know, piece of document that crew who are currently stuck on board need to have, which is valid, is their ENG1. What should crew do if their ENG1 has expired during?
The MCA has just issued, just a few days ago, a revised medical certification policy for COVID-19 guidance. We will publish more details on our website as well, but there is a specific section that discusses ENG1 certificates. And of course, even in this guidance, there are different scenarios explained, but what is important to know is that in case that your ENG1 certificate has expired or is expiring, the MCA asks you to print out this guidance and that the master has a copy on board of this guidance that basically extends the validity of your ENG1 up to 6 months, 3 or 6 months, depending on the case. And this allows you basically to be working without involving an approved doctor or the MCA. You just need to have this guidance printed out on board. And as I mentioned, we will publish an article about this soon, so you can find a reference of this guidance note and details on how it works.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kim. I think, so just while you were chatting, we've received two questions through our chat that I thought I'd quickly just run past you. If, Kim, you need to, go into look into this a little bit further, we will get back to those people who have asked the questions. But the first one was from Paul, and that's just a question about, has the MCA released any information about the possibility of doing orals over Skype?
Not so far. The MCA has suspended all examinations, but it is an ongoing and evolving situation. There are continuous discussions between the MCA and training providers and amongst their staff. So things may change, and if it does happen, we will let you know.
Okay, brilliant. And then just with regards to yacht rating certificate applications, where does that currently stand?
So at the moment, we are unable to issue yacht rating certificates on behalf of the MCA, and you can't apply with the MCA either. What you can do, though, is get in touch with us. My colleague Bianca deals with yacht rating certificates, and she can go through your documents, make sure that everything is in order so that when our offices reopen, we will be able to issue the certificates again.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kim. I think, hopefully that's covered some of the key questions that everyone has about the information that the MCA has given out at the moment with regards to certification and training. I'm just going to quickly move on to crew rights at this time. So recently we published a blog to all of our members with some of the most common questions that crew have asked at this time with regards to their rights during the lockdown period. And the three main questions that came up was many crew were asked to go on unpaid leave or asked to accept a pay reduction due to COVID-19. Many crew were struggling to leave their vessel or disembark and go on rotation or unpaid leave. And many crew who were set to join their vessel after paid holiday or coming back from rotation were struggling to join their vessel. So our member assistance service team have just provided some simple answers to this. Obviously, I think when it comes to situations like this, we always advise that crew contact us because everyone's situation is really unique and different. But what I'll do is I'll just provide some brief guidance for each of these questions. So if you've been asked to take unpaid leave or asked to accept a reduction in pay, what our team has suggested is that any changes to the terms of your employment is legal as long as it complies with the notice requirements of your contract. So your vessel does need to comply with giving you notice. What we have done is we haven't advised crew whether or not they should accept any changes to the terms of their wages. But we have made them aware that at the moment, unfortunately, finding a job is incredibly difficult due to all the travel restrictions. So what we advise is it's best to come to a compromise with your employer on the best situation that will suit them and yourself until all the restrictions have been lifted. And then for crew who currently on board, but who've either docked in a port recently or who have been stuck in a port but are unable to leave their vessel and go back home or go off rotation, what the contractual obligations are for crew who do have contracts in place, specifically MLC contracts, is that it's their employer's responsibility to make sure that all the necessary travel arrangements are in place for crew to get back home. And if crew are stuck on shore and are unable to leave due to border closures or, there not being any flights, it is the employer's responsibility to make sure that the crew's travel and any lodging that's required on shore is covered. However, we strongly advise that crew don't disembark their vessel or sign any discharge documents before confirmation of their travel and their immigration status along their travel has been approved. Because many crew were stuck traveling from their vessel back home when lockdown measures were being put in place. And unfortunately, some crew were stuck in between countries. So that has been quite a difficult situation for many crew. And then just to answer one of the other questions that came through, and that was just, what should crew do who are unable to join their vessel? So I think this is a particularly important question right now, because a lot of crew had agreements in place to join their vessel at the start of the Mediterranean season, either coming over from the Caribbean or over from their home, starting to join the season. So I think, as I've mentioned, I think if a contract is in place, it is the employer's responsibility to arrange travel to the vessel for crew. I think where crew have found themselves in a particularly difficult position is many crew only sign, new contracts when they start a new job, when they join the vessel. So at the moment, some crew who are not being paid, although they already have agreed employment, might find themselves not being paid. And the advice we've given to crew is, if you've accepted employment, but you're unable to join your vessel, under English law and many other jurisdictions, it is the vessel's duty to pay crew if they can't join the vessel. However, again, I think at the moment, it's difficult for crew to go off if they're not happy with the terms that a vessel has given them. So it's best to try and come to a compromise that meets both your needs and the vessel. And then just to let everyone know that we've recently released an article on our blog, which is on www.poia.org. And in that blog, we've included some resources for crew who are planning to travel to their vessel to check before making any travel arrangements. So I think it's really important that crew look at government websites and check in with their embassy or local ports if they're planning to travel to a country to look for work or to join the vessel, or if you're currently on a vessel and you're looking to move to another country or port. It's really important that you look at each country's government websites and call the port authorities directly and arrange the necessary the necessary requirements for you to travel there. So if anyone's got any more specific questions on their current situation, please do email us and we can forward this on to our member assistance service. I think, like I said, for everyone who might be stuck in a difficult situation and they might be unpaid or unable to travel, I think each of your situations and your contract will determine what your rights are. So it's important that you get personalized advice at the moment. So I think just with regards to travel, I'll just move over to Seb, who's our Palmer representative. And Seb, I know you've been looking at some of the local restrictions and regulations that are going on in Spain and specifically in the Balearics at the moment. So can you tell us a little bit more about what is the local news at the moment in Palma, and what are the local restrictions for crew at the moment?
Yeah, so the Ministry of Health has confirmed 6 more coronavirus fatalities in the Balearic Islands yesterday, taking the total to 131. There are also 31 new cases of COVID-19 and 1,667 since the health crisis began. But the good news is 918 people have fully recovered and been discharged from the hospital. Javier Aran, spokesman for the Regional Committee of Infectious Diseases, has pointed out that the Balearic Islands are the third community with the lowest proportion of cases. In this period, the islands have registered 41.31 cases per 100,000 inhabitants, only behind the Canary Islands with 27 cases and Murcia with 32. He said, "We are in a very good situation despite the increase in the cases this week." So that's good news. Non-essential workers are now able to work in Palma since Tuesday. Balearic Port Authority clarified marinas are included in the rollback of work restrictions. The ability to resume non-essential work had been considered by us to apply to yards and workshops, though the authority confirms that the relaxation applies to any nautical facility. All works must be carried out in accordance with heightened hygiene standards, which include the wearing of gloves and masks, the provisions of hand sanitation, the distance of 2 meters between the workers, and avoidance of group gatherings if possible. Before carrying out the work, confirmation must be provided by the company responsible for the work, stating that works comply with necessary measures to guarantee the health of workers and prevent the spread of the virus. However, the state of alarm will still apply until Sunday, 26th of April, with the slight possibility of being extended again. This means that all other restrictions stated by royal decree are still in place, including movement restrictions, only being able to leave home or vessel individually in the following cases, such as purchasing of food, pharmaceuticals, and necessities, attendance at health or medical facilities, travel to the workplace to carry out your work, professional or business provision, return to habitual place of residence, assistance and care of the elderly, minors, dependents, people with disabilities, or especially vulnerable people, and due to force majeure or a situation of need. All these movements must be justified to the authorities. So we highly recommend that any crew member moving from home to the vessel carry with them a letter from the vessel or agency certificate stating that the crew member needs to travel in order to go to his or her workplace. Also, here are some new nautical updates from the island. Unfortunately, the 2020 Palma International Boat Show, originally scheduled for the end of this month and then postponed to early June, has been cancelled. 2021 boat show will be held by the end of April or next year. Another news is a meeting of the Balearics Coronavirus Monitoring Committee on Tuesday repeated a point that Balearics President Armengol had made on Sunday regarding ports and airports. So one of the last measures to be adopted when lifting the confinement in Balearics should be the reopening of ports and airports. The committee believes that once ports and airports are reopened, there should be strict health controls for travelers. And lastly, I think it's a good news, interesting news took my attention last week. There has been 5 merchant ships carrying pleasure yachts arrived to the port of Palma since the government declared the state of alarm. So things are slightly getting back to normal. These are the latest updates.
Great. Thanks, Seb. I think it's really interesting to hear that that vessel has come into Palma with those pleasure yachts, because, you know, I think that's a good sign to, yes, to see that vessels are coming over and preparing for the season. Sure. Great. So just to move over to Kim, I know you were looking into some of the latest regulations in France and Italy. Could you quickly just give us a brief overview on that?
Sure. So starting from Italy, the lockdown has been extended recently until May 3rd. So the outings, any kind of outings, so going out of your house or going out for your boat, is allowed only for essential needs. This means you need to always fill in a travel certificate, as it's happening here in France and in Spain, as we've mentioned, as Seb mentioned. But there is a bit of good news, because some businesses are slowly reopening. This week, shipyards in Liguria have opened, for instance, and other regions are also preparing themselves to open their shipyards. So there is something changing. Traveling for boats is banned, and for individuals is banned as well. But there may be exceptions. So as you mentioned earlier, Stacey, you need to contact the authorities and figure out if there is a way for you to reach your destination. It's not impossible. There are crew who are traveling, who are going on board, who are going back home. And it is possible, but arrangements need to be made in advance, and you need to have all your paperwork in order. And depending on where you are traveling to, the restrictions may vary, the documentation may vary. So it's very important that you get this information beforehand, before making any commitment, before purchasing any ticket. France, the lockdown has been extended until May 11th, and the same restrictions as in Italy apply. You can go out only for essential needs, and you need to have your travel certificate that explains the reason why you're going out. And only boats with an annual or seasonal berth in France are allowed to reach their berth, their port in France. They also will need to submit the request to the authorities and provide the necessary papers. There are some shipyards that are also going to be opening between now and the beginning of May in the south of France. So there are signs that things are changing here as well. And Monaco, the lockdown has been extended until May 3rd. And the same restrictions apply as in Italy and France and in Spain. The main difference is that only Monaco flagged boats are allowed into their ports. But for everything else, the situation is very similar. As I said earlier, we said earlier, just make sure that you check with the local authorities first before doing anything, before traveling.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kim. I think one important point to make here is that regulations are going to be changing day to day from now until we reach a point where all restrictions have been lifted. So I think if you are interested in specific country regulations or ports specifically, and you want to move between ports, make those calls to the specific ports and make sure that you carry the right documentation, because there are fines in place for vessels who are not carrying the right documentation moving between ports. Great. So just to move on to Louise, I know you've been waiting for us there. Louise, I know you've been doing a few webinars recently and speaking to different crew. It would be great to hear, from your perspective and from, you know, YPI crew as a whole, what is the current status on recruitment at the moment during the lockdowns, and What do you sort of foresee for the coming month or two in terms of recruitment?
Well, the current situation, obviously, it's pretty quiet since the 18th of March. Oh, sorry. We've had an 80% reduction in incoming jobs, which is, you know, considering this is our busiest time of year, is crazy. Obviously, you know, different departments have different struggles. You know, quite a lot of junior crew lose their jobs first. Senior crew tend to, you know, stay on board and tend to, as well, be on rotations. So we are noticing recently that this week, especially since they've given us a date of the 11th of May, we've noticed that recruitment has started to pick up again. We've took in, say, five or six new jobs just this week, which is a really good sign, and everyone's feeling quite positive now. We also have sort of, you know, like the engineering and captain side, we have jobs coming in for sort of like July and August because of rotations. So, you know, it is a quiet season, but, you know, we are, as I said, we are very optimistic. We feel that things are starting to pick up. And, you know, we're just really hoping now that this all kind of, you know, the restaurants open and the owners come back. Predictions for the next couple of months. I mean, we're in unprecedented times. We, you know, we can't give an exact answer. You know, we are kind of hoping that, you know, the owners do come back down, the ports pick up, and we do think there will be, you know, when the borders open and the crew can come back as well, we do think there will be like a huge, you know, late season, basically. We're really optimistic for a late season this year on the recruitment.
Great, great. I mean, I think also if crew are monitoring local job boards and I know Facebook groups, it's interesting to see that, you know, on there, you can normally also judge a lot of the activity of what's going on. So, yeah, I mean, certainly, hopefully, as the situation evolves, recruitment becomes a little bit more active. And Louise, I'm not sure if you can answer this question, and this might tie into some of the info that you're going to provide, Fiona, but have you seen a difference at the moment in terms of the recruitment demand between chartered vessels or private vessels, or is it sort of pretty much?
Well, we know at the moment, obviously, quite a lot of charters have, you know, been cancelled. I do kind of think they might pick up, though, as I said, late season. With private boats, I think as well that'll really pick up as well, because I think, you know, with yacht owners being unable to have had any, you know, travel whatsoever, I think they'll come straight down at the first opportunity, really. And the same, I think, with charter as well. I think we'll have a really nice boom right at the end of the season when, you know, the travel's allowed and everything's open again.
Great. And, you know, I understand this is it's a fairly tricky situation to sort of judge, and it's tricky to give a sort of definite answer at the moment. But we will be covering that topic right at the end of the webinar, of what everyone's sort of thoughts are looking ahead. But I'll move on to you, Fiona, unless you've got anything else you want to add, Louise, quickly before we move on.
No, not unless anyone's got any questions, but in particular, let me know.
What I'll do is I'll monitor the question board, and if there are any questions, we can try and run through them at the end of the webinar.
Okay, fantastic.
Great. So Fiona, really over to you. It would be great just to hear sort of how things are going from your end on the charter perspective. And you'll just need to unmute your mic.
Thank you very much to the PYA for hosting this webinar and for all the support and advice that you're giving your members. I think that that's it's very important to be there for them, and they very much appreciate it. As far as charter's concerned, again, we don't have a crystal ball. We probably have more questions than we have answers. But like Louise, we are hopeful that we will be able to rescue the latter part of the Mediterranean season, but it's going to be a very different one. There are so many different moving parts that have to come together for the charter season to start taking off. So, you know, the yachts have to be fully crewed, obviously, which means that the crew have to be able to travel. In our fleet that we manage, we're not seeing people being laid off. What we're seeing on charter yachts is the seasonal crew are not yet being taken on. And then, of course, some of the permanent crew have been asked to take a pay cut. When lockdown does begin to be alleviated and the crew can start moving back on, hiring can take place. That's the first step. The port movements need to be freed, and I think that's actually already, as we've said, beginning to happen now. Shipyards are continuing to work, or will shortly be reopening for work at a lesser capacity. They've made that very clear, but the yachts should be getting ready now, and as soon as the shipyards are available, then completing their winter works, so that they are ready. In France, given that the president has said that restaurants, bars, presumably that includes beaches, will not be open until mid-July at the earliest, I think we can write off June. I mean, there's no clients coming if they can't.
Just to jump in there, so that was a discussion that we actually had at the POI yesterday, because I think there's been a lot of discussion about Macron's speech and what the regulations are actually for hotels and restaurants. And I think going back and looking at exactly what was outlined, I think we've seen that he hasn't said that hotels and restaurants can only open mid-July. What he said is at the beginning of May, they will still remain closed. However, festivals and any sort of events can only happen from, well, will only start to look at happening from mid-July. So at the moment, it looks like, restaurants, hotels will remain closed from the 11th of May. However, this could, soon be lifted after the 11th of May. Today in the Nice Matin, there was an article about the restaurants, hotels, bar owners in Antibes who have come together with the mayor of Antibes to put together a proposal for the local prefect, and that is to, under certain health and safety restrictions, so I know one of the restrictions was that at restaurants they'd keep tables 1 meter apart. So under these restrictions, would they be allowed to start activity from the 1st of June? So that's something which has been put to the local prefect today. So just, I think that's just one thing I wanted to clear up in Macron's speech, because I've seen a lot of discussion about this online. And the regulations is that restaurants and hotels are not only going to open from mid-July, it could be sooner, but this will just depend on the coronavirus situation.
Sorry. Good point. And we're closely monitoring that. But the fact remains that if the requirements are that you have to wear a mask whenever you go out, it's not going to be the experience that our customers are hoping for when they come to the glamorous south of France. So, and also there's the big question of international travel, international flights into the Schengen area. That's an unanswered question. They've said for the moment they are not reopening the borders to international travel. So that's going to impact charter as well. But that, losing the month of June is not the end of the world, because our big season is July, August, beginning of September. And we are hopeful that that will go ahead, perhaps in a slightly different manner, but people will get to enjoy it. And I'm seeing a lot of positive elements now. Clients that I speak to, charterers and owners, have all said, I cannot wait to get out of lockdown and use my boat or come to the Med and charter a yacht. That's all I'm thinking about is dreaming of coming and using my yacht on the water. So that's really positive. I think that the will is there from our clients, and as long as the practicalities are in place, we will see some good activity. Another element is that we are seeing American owners who have their yachts in the States changing their plans to bring their yachts to the Med. They're going to keep them in Florida or in the Bahamas. So there'll be fewer charter yachts in the Med. But that's good news for those that are based here. It'll bump up their bookings, hopefully. There's not a lot we can do at the moment. We're not getting any new inquiries. Charters that are in place already Most of them are now subject to an addendum, a deferment addendum, which means they're not going to be cancelled. And should at the, sort of like 2 weeks prior to the charter, it's become clear that the clients can't join the yacht or the yacht isn't ready due to the lockdown situation, then the charter will simply be deferred to a later date. That guarantees income for the owner and for the vessel. It doesn't mean cancellation where the money just completely disappears. So that's good. There have been a couple that have been cancelled. Because they haven't been able to defer, perhaps because the yacht is not intended to come back to the Med next summer, for example. But generally, the charters are being have a postponement addendum, and that hopefully they won't have to use, particularly those taking place in the latter part of July, August, and September. So that's really just a very brief overview.
Great, thanks, Fiona. And I think you sort of touched on what I think we're moving on to discuss now, and that's what is everyone's sort of outlook on the season ahead. So I think you've touched on that, and so is Louise. I think, you know, from the PYA's perspective, just to echo what you said, Louise, we are in unprecedented times. I think the situation is evolving day by day, and I think it would be unwise at this stage to say, to paint a really positive picture, but at the same time, I think it's no point painting a really negative picture either, because I think things can change. I think, last week until we heard, locally here in France, specifically until we heard what President Macron announced on Monday, I think there wasn't sort of any light at the end of the tunnel at that stage. But I think since this new sort of date of May 11th has been announced in France, I know in Spain, they're looking to review things at the end of the month. I think what we can say is that I think things are moving slightly in a more positive direction. I think the dates of when things are going to start to kick off, I think, are unclear. But I think the good news is that we are starting to look towards the progression towards the season at the moment. But I don't think we're at the stage where things are kicking off yet, as obviously because we're all waiting still within lockdown. And I think, whilst the date of May 11th does look very promising, like you said, the borders still remain shut. So, anyone traveling from outside the EU, we still don't know when they'll be able to come in. So that's specific for crew and obviously guests as well. So I think it'd be I think on May 11th, hopefully there's an update of that, or before perhaps. And I think really when that news comes out, I think that will be quite interesting and important. But yeah, I don't know if, does anyone else want to sort of cover the topic of sort of the outlook for the season ahead and what sort of crew should be thinking? I think a question came through from a crew, from a green crew, and said, should green crew travel to the south of France once travel restrictions have been lifted?
Sorry, I just interrupted that one. Obviously, yeah, Antibes is the yachting hub, isn't it? It's a great place to come and dock walk, but we don't know how the season's going to be, if all the yachts are going to be going out, if they're going to be having a season. So it's a great place to be to pick up work. So is Palma. It's another good place, a bit cheaper to stay. In terms of being green crew and wanting to dock walk, and I think Antibes better, just so you can get up and down the Riviera, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think one important thing maybe green crew should be thinking of at the moment is, I think keep up to date with what is going on. Make sure that you are ready to travel when restrictions have been lifted. And, who knows, if we do get a boom later on in the season, you do want to be there when boats are urgently looking for crew to hire. So, that situation might arise. But I think the main thing is to keep up to date constantly on what is happening, so that when restrictions are lifted and the green light has been given, then you're in a place to go and